Aren't you glad we can still feel God's presence? I mean, you know, I know we walk by faith, not by sight, but I'm sure that I can feel the presence of God. I've said this before, you know, I know Marilyn loves me. She's my wife. By faith, I know she loves me. We're married. But I sure like when she gives me a kiss on the job. Or she rubs my back or holds my hand. I like to know she's there. I like feeling her presence. And I'm thankful that with God, we feel this presence. Makes all the difference in the world. We're going to talk about promoting the product. It may sound like a strange title. But in a world of such confusion and division and stuff, the gospel is a very pure, simplistic message. And sometimes we forget the product we're promoting. And the product we're promoting, of course, is Jesus. That's what we're promoting, is Jesus and the message of Christ and the gospel. So let's turn to the next slide. Let's start in, well, what is the product? Of course, Jesus. Go to the second one. This is Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you, and you shall be witnesses unto who? Me. Jesus. The Holy Ghost is going to come to empower you that you are witnesses for me. The priority is that we witness for Christ. It's not about us. It's not about denomination. It's not about even a local church or about religious rituals. It's about Him. When we promote Jesus, that's a good product. That product has a lifetime guarantee. That product has a good warranty. Yes. He will even outlast a Toyota. He goes on forever and ever. And when, you know, my mom was in sales, you know, most of her life. Still is now to a degree. But not with this, with something else she does. But she's been in sales. I remember mom told me, says, I didn't sell anything that I didn't feel good about the product I was selling. The product makes all the difference. We're not promoting a piece of junk. We're promoting Jesus. We're promoting the King of Kings. We're promoting a proven truth. A proven and tested truth that He is who He says He is. So that's what we're supposed to promote. Him. Go to the next slide. I got a bunch. We're supposed to do it at the uttermost part of the earth. How much does this product cost me? That's what everybody wants to know, right? How much does it cost me? Remember the old vacuum cleaner sales in the back of the day? Pushing them rainbow vacuums? Oh, my God. And they would tell you everything it did. They didn't want to tell you the price. Oh, it's only $21 a week for 9,000 weeks at 22% interest with $500 down there. I mean, you know what? How much does it cost? Nothing. This product to us is free. Here's scripture. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This gift of grace was paid for in full by Jesus. When He died on the cross, He paid the penalty for sin for mankind. He paid that, church. The tab is clear. And so, in many religious circles, there's still a price to be paid to get this. Still a price to be paid. Maybe it's not monetary, but it's a price of following my rules and regulations, do the things that we teach you have to do, go through these hoops, jump these things, and then maybe God will see fit to call you one of His own. Well, that's not a free gift. If mom gives me a birthday gift, if mom gives me $100, say, here's your birthday, here's a card, he's $100 in it, and puts the card, here's your birthday gift, and says, here's how I want you to use it. Gee, thanks. I got a sock to t-shirts. Thanks, mom. I want to be able to use, you know, she gives it as a gift for me to use. There's no strings attached to it. Jesus died, and there's no strings attached to it. He doesn't dangle a carrot and say, I'll save you if, and I'll keep you saved if. It is a gift that He gave us. Because we couldn't earn that gift. We couldn't be holy enough to pay for sin. We couldn't enter the gates of heaven based on our own merit or own accomplishments or own abilities or own spiritual encounters. We couldn't do it. Sin still stood there. And the only remedy for sin was that the law had to be kept. We read that over and over. The law had to be kept. Who could keep the law? None of us can, could, or will. But Jesus did. Jesus fulfilled the terms of the law. And when he fulfilled that, it closed the book on the law now being the governor of our salvation. He paid the price and says, now I am your salvation. I'm thankful for that. This product, Jesus, is what we as Christians should be promoting. We're going to go through five questions here in a minute that all of us can minister through and be disciples of. If you're in your workplace, this is a way we can witness. Go to the next slide. Here's our first question. Somebody may ask you this. Why do I need him? Why do I need Jesus? Look what the Bible says. Romans 3, beginning with verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not even rest in peace. Bert was short, Joe Brown. If y'all don't know the story, Bert was short. He was a funny man, I tell you. That was the guy with the church, his father. And he come back door one day, and Bill's a minister to get a kick out of this. I preached the message, you know. He come to back door, shook my hand, that suit of his. He says, that's a great message, Pastor. Talking about sin. You didn't touch me. Then he kind of laughed. But you know what? There are some folks that feel that way. There is none righteous. There is none above the penalty of sin. We're born that way. We know that. We're born with a sin nature. I've said it many times. You don't have to train your children how to be bad. They do that all on their own. But you got to train them how to be good. I mean, that bad side comes out natural. That sassiness, that rolling their eyes, that back talking, that, you know, they're little and they want to swat at you. That's what I say. Don't you ever do that again. You have to teach them how. You know why they're automatically bad? It's because the sin nature is born inside of them at birth. And it's that sin nature ruling and reigning until they put it under the blood. So there's not any righteous. There is no one who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They've all become unprofitable. There is none who does good. Not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. Their poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. Y'all feeling good about yourselves yet? Think about somebody who's telling you this right here. The Bible is, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So why do we need him? Because we're all guilty without him. And we're all under sin without him. Next verse. Oh, did you skip 19?
No, that was 19.
Okay. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, now look at this, no matter what we do, you can be baptized 22 times, you can be resaved 110 times, you can shout and dance and fast and give till you're broke giving your money, but none of your deeds will be justified in his sight. Nothing we do within ourselves makes us right standing with God. It is faith in what he did for us that makes us right standing with God. It's important we grasp that truth, church. That's why the world needs him. We're not going to earn our way to heaven because of the so-and-so church we belong to, or because we're a good person. The Bible just says, maybe not. I mean, all of us have that side that can come out quick when our button's pushed. Everybody got a different button. The devil knows which button to push. You want to see Gail's bad side come out? Let him pull up the Bill General on Wednesday with a big old sign saying closed. Then he goes to the other Bill General, Highway 90, closed too. Then he drives all the way to Taylorville. Sorry, Gail, we're closed too. You want to see his bad? This man eats pizza on Wednesday. You take that away from him, you have a grizzly bear on your hands. We've all got our buttons that the devil knows to push. And so it's easy for that sin man to be seen. Next scripture. So that's why we need him. We're all guilty. We're all under sin. And when somebody asks you, why do I need your Jesus? That's what you tell them. That scripture tells, look, you're not good in yourself. You're guilty before God unless you accept what he's done for you. Where can I find him? People say that, you know, God's distant, God's here. I don't hear God, I can't see God. How do you know he's real? How do you know he's alive? This is Romans 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend the deep? That's to bring him again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So where is God? The word of God is in our very mouth the moment we call upon him. He's there. He's not somebody we've got to go try to locate. He's not somebody we've got to, you know, do the dance to get him to come down. He's here now. He's present now. He's real now. And he's only, you know that song? I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save the day. Superman got nothing on me. You know that song? I did pretty good on that. Anyway, I didn't make it by swooning. I realized that. But anyway, that's God. I'm only one call away. I'm here to save the day. Just call on me. It's all you got to do. It's in your mouth. Next scripture. If you will confess with your mouth, look at the simplicity of this gospel that Paul preached. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Glory. It's in our mouth. That's where God is there to save us. He just asked us to call upon him. To just call upon him. He's not distant. He's an ever-present help in our time of trouble. He's near. He's not far away. He's right here. So we tell people, how do I find him? You find him by talking to him. Calling on him. God never fails to answer us when we call upon him. Never. He may not answer us the way we want, but he never fails to answer us. Next scripture. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now look at this. Righteousness means right standing with God. So how am I right standing with God? I believe it. By faith. Righteousness isn't something that I do. Righteousness is something I believe. And there's a difference in that. We can never do enough to be righteous. We've all failed. We've all come short of the glory of God. All of us. And we will again. Like I told you Sunday, that I would probably sin by Monday. Remember, I kind of joked about that. I said, even your lovable, great, honorable, high moral character pastor might sin by tomorrow. And I did. I'm sure I did. More than once. I'm thankful, so thankful that my righteousness is not hinged to my works, but that my righteousness is hinged to my faith in him who did the work. Amen. Glory. Go to the next verse. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. No matter where you're at, what you've done, your situation. You think God couldn't forgive me, couldn't love me, wouldn't hear me. You don't understand, preacher. I'm in a bad place. I've done some bad things. I'm in a dark area of my life. The Bible says he is rich to all of them that call upon him, no matter where you are. I love that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And see, that sounds simple, but you know what? There's a lot of folks that don't do that. There's a lot of folks that deny this truth. They deny this truth. I was somewhere yesterday morning, and there was this guy sitting at the table next to me, and he looked a little odd. You know, if he was homeless or just, he just looked odd. I just felt a vibe, you know, and he's reading. He gets up and looks at me. He's got a Bible. He gets up and looks at me, and he begins to talk about, because I'm going to change how people think. He started talking to me. I didn't even ask. I mean, he just looked at me and started talking to me. He said, I'm going to change how people think. He said, all the stories in the Bible and all that. He went on his long religious rampage and said, you know, God didn't part the Red Sea. The water didn't go nowhere. It's all this junk and crap and use some other words. I mean, here's the Bible, isn't it? All this other stuff that, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I just listened to him and talked for a minute. And I looked at him and I says, sir, I disagree with you. I disagree with you. And boy, he got mad and just walked away. But we're dealing with that kind of warfare. Because here's what happened. I'm seasoned to know the truth, but everybody's not. And if his voice gets to us, somebody that doesn't understand the truth, it can be a deceiving deception. I am thankful that no matter where any of this guy calls on the name of the Lord, he too shall be saved. Doesn't matter where we are with him. Next. When do I call upon him? We're doing the where, what, when, how, why. That's what we're doing, the five things. So we talked about, you know, the first two. I don't remember. But anyway, here's the third one. When do I call upon him? I talked to a lot of people as a pastor. And I talked to people that I've called but haven't been in church for a while. I hear this all the time. Pastor, the reason I ain't been, I ain't living right. And I can't come in there like no hypocrite not living right. Well, you go everywhere else not living right. You go eat dinner on Saturday night at steakhouse not living right. You go to work not living right. Yeah. You go to the ball game not living right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, this is the trick of the enemy. We don't wait until we think we're presented before God to come to him. We come to him like we are right now. We don't have to worry about the rest. God will take care of the rest. We just take that first step. So when do I call upon him? Go to Scripture. Psalms 91:15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. So when do we call upon him? Right now. In our trouble, we call upon him. In our otherness, we call upon him. When we need them, we call upon them. We don't have to be cleaned up to call upon them. We tell people this. When people, I can't come to church, you understand? There are people I know don't come here because they're not living right or they feel guilty. It's a good thing that they have an awareness of their sin. But to stay out of church is not going to fix the problem. It's not going to remedy the situation. We come and let the Holy Spirit do its work to transform us and to change us and to mold us. I've had folks in this church for a fact, because I've known them, and I've seen them in the sanctuary, where they have been in a service. I had a guy here one time years ago sitting back there about where Connie Brenda was, that was completely drunk during the service. He'd come in, he was drunk. I've had people in this service that have been high, completely high on drugs in the service. You know what? That's okay. Let the word do its work. Let the anointing have its way. We don't have to dismiss people because they don't meet a standard that we have set. God set no standard. He said, come. He went to the well. The woman well didn't go to him. Remember that story? He went to her. He went to this woman that he shouldn't have even been involved with by Jewish custom. One, she was a woman. Two, she was not a Jew. He was violating two very cultural things that didn't look good. But he went to her and offered her this eternal life. And people talked about him. His peers talked about him. They said, why are you always talking to sinners? Isn't that the point? I mean, really think about that. And us religious folks, somebody walks in a church that's a little different than us. Oh my gosh, they're not dressed up. My Lord, they got 50,000 tattoos, and they got long hair, and they got piercings, and they got this, and they got green hair and purple hair. Oh my God, what do I do? They make me uncomfortable. Really? Maybe make them uncomfortable. They're not about to ask them. They're like, ooh, maybe I'm in the wrong place because everybody don't look. I mean, they look like they're not living this earth. I'm all for church dressing up and looking our best. I'm not saying that. But when people walk in, all of a sudden, we set a, not us, but people in general, they set some kind of thing and think, they must not know Jesus because they got purple hair. They must not know Jesus, they're doing this. Or they aren't for real because they look like this. Read your Bible of what Jesus did. He went to sinners. He went to people that needed him. He even says, I go to people that need a physician, not ones that don't need one. I go to the ones that are sick. That's the ones that need me. Go to the next verse. Another verse talking about this very question. When do I call him? This is Psalms 116:2. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I shall live. I love the first part of that. Because he's inclined his ear to me. God has inclined his ear to us. God is awaiting our voice. God is awaiting to hear from us. Whether we're saved, whether we're not saved, God is waiting to hear from us. And the moment we call upon him, he hears that in his ears, and he responds. Man, David probably talked God's ears off. David probably one of my favorite Bible people. I respect David for his heart. I respect David for his humility. And all the things he did wrong in the earth, he kept talking to God, and God kept hearing him, and God kept restoring him, and God kept giving him peace and joy over and over, because David never failed to call upon God. See, when we're in sin, sometimes God seems so distant, doesn't he? When we're in a place we shouldn't be, God feels so far away because we've given ourselves over to other voices that's drowning out the voice of God. But the moment we call upon God again, guess what? That voice permeates those voices, and that voice becomes clear again when we call upon him. But sometimes we don't want to really be changed, or we're not ready for him to come change our lives, but he's ready for us. Next verse, Psalms 120:1. And this is my favorite verses out of this section. In my distress, not in my best dress, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard me. God heard me in my distress, in my gutter moment, in my loneliness, in my pain. Whatever situation I'm battling, God heard my prayer. I don't have to fake it with God. I don't have to pretend with God. I don't have to be something I'm not with God. I come truly as I am and present myself, and in that moment of my greatest despair, I call upon him, and notice he said, God heard me. He didn't say, not now, not yet, get together first, change first, do this first. Come, call upon him, and he hears us. That's what we tell folks. When you call him, right now. Somebody may ask you this sometime, what can you do for me? I mean, you don't understand. I'm going through a divorce. I've lost my job. I've got addictions or strongholds or struggles. I'm fighting depression. I don't have any hope. What can this Jesus you're talking about really do for me? Bible gives us an answer on this. There's many more answers. I'll take a few. This is out of the Amplified. Matthew 11:28. What can he do for you? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. That's what God can do for you. He can give you peace. He can take that burden you're carrying off. It doesn't mean the divorce won't go through. It doesn't mean you'll get your job back. It doesn't mean that child might get saved by tomorrow night. But it means that I will take and lift that burden off of you, and you won't be carrying it anymore by yourself. And I'll give you peace for your soul. There are things that we can battle that when we're in Christ, we have peace through the battle. We don't like going through it, but we can have peace going through it. A lot of times, our battle doesn't stop. Our battle goes on, but God gets us through the battle. He gets us through it. Sorry. That's how it hurt. He gets us through. So the storm may not stop. But in the storm, as the old saying, which Melanie always quotes, I can't remember exactly, but learn how to dance in the rain. Just learn how to dance in the rain. Sometimes it's just you can have rest in that very thing. That's what God can do for you. Then next slide, room. How does he change my life? Now, we talk about what he does for us, but how does it really change my life? Okay, so I got some peace, got some joy. But what does it do for me in the long run? What does this product do for me? We bought, or Melanie bought, didn't know she bought it. I'm glad she did. But she's been seeing something on advertising. She didn't know she bought one. Cooked our first meal of the night. It was awesome. She bought a pressure cooker. Awesome deal. Oh, my God. There is no excuse for her to cook dinner no more because it's like fast. She put raw stewed beef. Well, she browned it. Just browned it. That's it. Just browned it. Put raw stewed beef with carrots, potatoes, all this stuff in the pressure cooker. And in 30 minutes, it was done. That's my kind of eating, buddy. She made a homemade macaroni and cheese in that pressure cooker. You know, it takes me 3 or 4 hours to crock pot to make it like that. 20 minutes. Raw noodles, deep boiled noodles. Put raw noodles in it. Everything you need. Pressure cooked it. 20 minutes of macaroni and cheese. It was absolutely awesome. That product has changed my life. It's changed my life. It is awesome. You can make like wings in 20 minutes. I mean, I don't know about pizza, you know, but probably. I mean, it's amazing what this pressure cooker can do. It does everything at an accelerated rate. There are products in our lives that have changed our life. So how does this product, Jesus, change our lives? John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. We know that means dwelling places, places to abide, places to dwell and live. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that special? Next verse. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, and where I am, you may be also. So what did he do for us? He gave us an eternal abode with him. This product guarantees us that we will be with him forever. That he went to prepare a place. No matter what, where life takes me, I'm going to be with him. Either on this earth, I'm with him, or when I see glory, I'm with him. But there'll be no separation. He went to prepare that place to never leave me. He's not going to leave me, church. God's not going to forsake me. God's not going to exit stage left. God is with me. That's what he did for us. And there's many verses we can put these questions, many verses. I just picked a few. But what God did for us. God took the sin that stood between us and him and removed it with his own life. He covered it with his own life. He gave his life for us. He gave everything for us that we will never taste death. Jesus says that, follow me and you shall never die. You'll never taste death. Death is not our body getting away. Death is separation of soul from his presence. That's what true death is, and that would be a horrible death, to be separated from the presence of God. Imagine Marjorie singing those songs, and you can actually feel nothing, ever feel nothing from it. It's just nothing stirs you, nothing moves you. You don't feel the angels all around you. You don't feel the holy ground. You don't feel the presence that surrounds you. You don't feel any of that. You don't feel the power of God. You don't feel the anointing of God covering you. You don't feel his cup of oil running over you. You don't feel that no more. How horrible that would be not to feel that ever again, to feel that presence of God. But because of what he did for us, we don't have to worry about that. He went and prepared a place that where he goes, I'm going to. And I'll be with him. Romans 8:37, I love these three verses. In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Now, notice this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. People say, yeah, but it says the love of God. I don't really say God. What is God? God is love. The Bible's clear on that. 1 John tells us that. God is love. So when you say love of God, it's equal to saying God. The love of God. His presence. Who he is. God embodies love. Nothing can separate the love of God out of our lives for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. See, that's the foundation. That's the measuring stick. Am I in Christ? Christ is my covering. Christ is my silt. Christ protects me. If I'm in Christ, I have this promise. Paul says not even death can separate me from him. Because I'm in Christ. Next slide. The product is not denominations. It's not institutions. It's not ministry leaders. It's not religious rituals. It's not church programs. The product we all should be showcasing is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did. Paul was very aware of the message he was delivering. And Paul wanted nothing to do with him bringing any attention. Remember at one point, they were arguing, well, who baptized him? Well, Bill Thorne baptized him. Well, James Lewis baptized him. Well, Joe Brown baptized him. Well, David Lewis baptized him. He's like, who cares? Ain't about who baptized you in water. It's who baptized you in spirit. And we're all part of the same. There's one Lord, one baptism, one spirit, one family. That's the product. And we've gotten so far away from that. Well, it's not about self-promoting bumper stickers on our lives. It's about lifting the one who changed everything. And that's what Paul went. That's why Paul was so beaten. Everybody thinks that, the disciples went through so much because, well, people didn't, they didn't love God or they were anti-Jesus. It wasn't much they were anti-Jesus as they was pro-legalism. Because here's the priest who went to school, bless their hearts, did all that great training, got their doctorate degree. And they had all this prestige in the town and all this authority, spiritual authority. They were somebody. And all of a sudden, these crippled people and blind people and deaf people and mute people and demonic people and paralyzed people that the priest couldn't help, this Jewish man named Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, who were nobody in society, he was healing them. And they were saying, at one point, remember they brought them before the governor and says, by what name are you doing this? Not by your name, Rabbi. Not by your name, Mr. Pastor. Not by your name, great evangelist. But by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified and delivered into the ungodly council. That's who healed this man. And all of a sudden, they didn't like hearing that. Because all of a sudden, it stripped them of their ego and their pride and their spiritual accomplishments. All of a sudden, the glory was being diverted away from them and to Jesus, and they didn't like that. That's why Paul was always beaten and ran out of town and stoned and in prison. They couldn't accept the fact that all of their legalism and all of their hoop jumping made zero difference in the salvation process. Paul was saying, you don't need that. You need this. This is the product that sets you free. This is the product with a guaranteed life warranty. This is all you need. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, crucified and risen the third day, and forevermore King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what made him mad. And even today we see that. Even in churches and denominations, you start really talking about, well, preacher, I know you have this, but I mean, don't I just need Jesus, really? Well, yeah, but no, hang on. Don't I just... In my salvation, completely based on my faith in Christ. Yeah, but why are you adding to it? Why do you keep adding stuff? Now, I believe there are sacraments that are very important. I absolutely believe that baptism is very important and essential to a believer. I believe in dedicating children in that. I believe communion can be a very sacred, special time. And we do that a couple times a year. We do communion. Those are important, but they don't save us. Salvation, you can eat all the wafers and drink all the wine and grape juice you want and do all the crosses like this, you won't. It don't save you. You can be like the stuttering priest that Marjorie told me about. That's so funny. How can you tell a Catholic priest had a stutter problem? I thought that was hilarious. We can do all that we want. Church, you can hold somebody underwater and say, when you come out, you better be shouting. I mean, I will hold you under until you get sanctified. You know what's going to happen? They're going to see Jesus right then because you're going to drown them. And they're going to come up dead. I mean, it's faith in Christ. And they hated these apostles and disciples because that's what they preached. And people today still don't really like that message because all the glory goes off of them. Our role as Christians and as God's people is that all the attention goes to Him. All the attention goes to Jesus. He's the product, church, that we are promoting. Yes, we want to like the church. And yes, I want this local church to grow. And all that's important. And yes, we need programs in church. All that are things that we need. But the central focus has to always be. Because think about this. People like Beulah, Mr. Williams, people that are bedfast, people that can't get to church, that just can't get here, are they just as saved as the ones here on Sunday? Of course they are. Are they more saved? Are y'all more saved because you come and they don't? No. They can't get here anymore. So all of their faith is in Christ, and they can't participate in the things we do at a local church. It doesn't make them less saved. So we have to be very careful that we are promoting the right product, and the right product is Jesus. So that's how we answer the when, what, where, why. Just a few scriptures. People ask me, why do I need Jesus? Because you're guilty. Why am I guilty? You're born with sin. The only way for sin to be remedied is they had to be fulfilled. We couldn't do that. Example I love using is even natural. We've not all kept the laws. My grandma meant a good, godly woman. And I love her. And I trust her. I trust her. And if I need somebody to pray for me, I trust her to put her hand on my head and pray for me. But I bet your grandma's broke some laws in her life. Hadn't you, Grandma? Look at that face. Self-righteous. Now, I'm saying, I bet you broke some laws in your life. We all have. And so, well, she gave me a look, boy. She didn't hear me. I know she did. We've all violated that. And so we tell people, look, have you kept every law of the land? What if you just based on the laws of the land, you had to keep it going to heaven, much less spiritual laws. I mean, thoughts come to our mind. When your words come out of your mouth, you can't get that back. Once they're out there, they're out there. You can apologize and hopefully they'll forgive you. But the point is, it's out there and you said it. And if God's judging on that, God don't judge this part. If you want to get real religious, God don't judge the part of you're a stupid imbecile. Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. You know what God judges? Stupid imbecile. It's out there. You said it. So it's important we recognize that we cannot be justified or sanctified or glorified by our own works. It is our faith in Jesus that does that. That's the product. And if we would point people to that church, we would see the church grow. We would see lives changed. We put so much undue pressure on people to change first and ask questions later. Instead of saying, you know what? I come as I am. And I let God do the rest. You know how many folks are pushed away? Church, as a pastor, and I know Bill did too, as a pastor, I hear so many church stories of people. I told you about a guy I ran into at Food Line who's back at church now, thank God. But he came in and said, I used to go to church for years. And said, I got out, bad time of my life. And I got out and I said, I ran into my old preacher. He said, hey, brother so-and-so, good to see you. And here's what this is what he told me. He said, my old preacher looked at me and says, good to see you. He said, why don't you come out to church, shave and cut your hair up a little bit and do that and come on back to church. young generation, our millennial generation, those born between 1980 and 2002, that generation, who are searching for truth, and the church culture has changed so much from that generation to even my generation, Generation X. The church landscape has shifted. Christian told me, after you taped my service on my phone last Sunday, she sat in the back and taped it. I want to kind of test it for quality. I'm just going to send it to Christian. It ain't going to go anywhere else. But I'm going to send it to Christian. She's looking for churches. She went to one last week. She says they all have too much of an entertainment feel. I don't want to be entertained. I want to be fed. And so she says, can you just somehow live stream or do something? So I had actually videotaped the service last week. I can send her the video through the phone or computer. That way she can. She said, my roommates want to hear you. They want to hear the word too. They want to hear you preach. So I want to send it to her that way. She is so hungry to hear a real true word that puts all the facades and all the flashing lights and dancing cymbals behind and just get the meat of the matter. You know, if you're a guy, we like meat most of the time, right? We like meat. I doubt any of you guys order a veggie pizza. You order a meat lover's pizza. So when you go to get, you know, when you go to Village Inn, the salad bar looks good. Sometimes I'll get a little salad. But man, I want that pizza. I want to skip the salad and get right to the meat. I want what's going to fill me up. And the garlic bread. The garlic bread is amazing. The pizza and the bread, that's what I like. People are hungry for something that's going to fill them. Not the frou-frou stuff that, you know, I love what Marjorie said 2 weeks ago, I think it was, up here. How that God is the audience. You know, we don't come because we're not coming to be entertained. I mean, yes, we're coming to be fed, but we're coming, God is the audience. That's why when we sing, and I love y'all, I hear more and more as the years have gone by, more of y'all saying it's beautiful when the congregation sings. God's the audience. Lord, here I am to worship you. Lord, here I am to worship you. Doesn't matter what anybody else says or thinks or looks around. We're here to worship God. He's the product we are promoting. You know our kids are watching that. You know how many kids I've seen in the audience? And man, I look at them sometimes. He's up here singing. Just say, little Sierra back there. You know, or little Zoe. Or Abby when she was younger. Said during praise and worship, they'll lift their hand up because they're seeing other people do that. And these little kids, they don't even know what they're doing sometimes, they're so young. But they see you lifting your hands up and say, they imitate that. They imitate what they see. And when we're doing this, you know what we're doing? We're giving all the attention to God. And our kids are seeing that we are surrendering to God. That's important. Jesus is the product. Barbara, you going to play an offering song for us? So who's that to you, Paul?